The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, last week, some of you heard me tell you how my hosta bed was so infiltrated by violets, invasive violets, that I finally got mad at it, and I dug it up shovelful by shovelful, and peeled the violets and their roots away from my hostas and their roots. And then I put the hostas back in their bed. And I had a perfectly clean hosta bed. That worked for me, for my plants. But our gospel lesson today says that's not how you deal with sinners. That's bad gardening when it comes to dealing with sinners. You don't dig them up. You don't root them out. You let them grow alongside. You let God deal with them. And in that, I think, lies a really hard message for most of us. We really would love to be able to judge sinners and say, "This is a sinner, and so I don't have to deal with this person. That is a sinner, I don't have to deal with that person." But the gospel says that's not the gospel way. ELCA Pastor David Hansen says, "In the master's garden, the master errs on the side of growth rather than punishment. The master is more concerned with everything growing than just the right things growing." But our tendency is to read a great deal of punishment in all this The eventual burning of the weeds becomes for us a metaphor for the fires of hell and judgment. The introduction of flames in the last few sentences colors the entire parable. But to me, Hansen writes, it's not a promise of judgment. It's a promise of harvest. Harvest is about feeding people. It's about sustenance. It's about bounty and abundance. And our rapture-warped minds and end-time infected spirituality, however, have turned the theological idea of a harvest into something to be feared. A terrible separating of those who belong and those who don't. But that's not what harvest is all about. Did you grow up reading this passage and reading fear into it? Well, Romans gives us the key, as it was just read to us by Jaden. God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. I gave you a spirit of adoption. And remember that when your heart is fearful. God said, I did not give you a spirit of fear. I'm not, big believer in having loads and loads of memory verses, partly because I keep switching versions of the Bible throughout my lifetime. And so I have pieces of verses in one or another version, and it's hard to keep a bunch in there, but I know when we were kids, we memorized a lot. This is one you need to memorize, because fear is such a pervasive emotion. God said, I did not give you a spirit of fear. So when we are fearful, that's not coming from God, so that must be coming from someplace else. Probably the one who planted the weeds. It's kind of interesting. Some of you know I've been involved in the Prairie Players production of Guys and Dolls this last week. And actually, there's been quite a few members of the congregation involved in that production. Alex and Kyle and Schroyers and Anders. Probably missing somebody, but it's a great show. There's still a matinee this afternoon if you want to see it. But one of the things about getting involved in the show is you start really absorbing some of the text. And this show has a lot of great one-liners, and maybe it's just because I'm a preacher, it actually seems to have a lot to do with the Sunday's gospel lesson. Of course, preachers can make anything have to do with the Sunday's gospel lesson, it just is. But if you don't know the storyline, Guys and Dolls is set in New York City, back in the time when there were dancing girls, showgirls, gamblers hiding from the law, and of course street missionaries, kind of like the Salvation Army. And one of the storylines is that the people at the mission, the Save a Soul mission, are a Salvation Army bunch type that spend a lot of their time worrying that their mission will close because they can't attract enough sinners. And Sarah, who is a dedicated leader of this Save a Soul mission, a young sergeant in the missionary group, makes it clear throughout most of this story that she really dislikes gamblers. Well, of course, she's being courted by one of them. And she gets really frustrated with the gamblers because while she's being swept off her feet by one of them, the rest of them are using the mission as a place to play their dice game. And so she's talking with this elderly missionary fellow, her uncle, her grandpa, something, and Sarah says, I just want to get away from this whole place, to go somewhere where... And the old guy interrupts and he says, where the sinners are all respectable and well-behaved? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the gospel for today? And it goes on, Sarah says, well, you saw what happened last night. They gambled in our mission. And Arbeid says, and someday they'll be praying there. Even a man like Skye Masterson, he came seeking refuge. Arbeid turns out to be prophetic. In fact, when he first meets Skye, he says, I wish I could find more sinners like you. And of course, Sarah's turning point comes up when she's under pressure because the mission's about to be closed because they can't find enough sinners. And a bet based on a bet based on a bet, Sarah has to take up an offer to receive a marker for 12 genuine sinners to show up for a prayer meeting. Throughout the show, you see the line between saints and sinners getting blurred. And I won't tell you how it ends because there's still a Sunday afternoon matinee if you haven't seen it. But the line between saint and sinner is blurred. And that's how it is in our gospel text. It doesn't read that clearly in this specific reading this morning. But you know it. As Lutherans, you know this in your core. We are both saint and sinner at the same time. And God help us. Thank God. Nobody pushed us away from the good news when we were at our worst. Because sometimes we still are. Truth be told. Sometimes we still are. And sometimes we think terrible things about other people. And God says, don't judge each other. Love me. Love your neighbor. Don't judge each other. Let the wheat and the weeds grow up together. And that's against everything we ever learned about gardening and farming. Swansons were out driving this morning. They got hit by a crop duster's fungicide. Because that's how we deal with crops. The gospel is that's not how we deal with people. That's not how we deal with people. And I'm going to tell you, it's a challenge. Because everywhere we look, we're being told that someone is other. And we need to weed them out. And it doesn't take much time with the newspaper, with the radio, with the television, to know that the world is a complicated and often dangerous place. And we want to be safe. I mean, that's human instinct, is we want to be safe and we want our loved ones to be safe. And watching the nightly news is apt to make one run for cover and stay there until the world regains its sanity. Think about it. We wish the news were as simple and the answers were as easy as cowboys in white hats and black hats. Good guys and bad guys. But it's not. We look at Israel and Palestine, and it's messy, and it's violent, and it's complicated. We look at Syria. We look at Russia and Ukraine. We look at the southern border of the United States. And we want to be like those servants in the gospel and say, "Master, did you plant bad seed?" But the master did not. The master did not. This week, some members of the ELCA National Church have been down in Texas, and they've been interviewing children and interviewing workers, interviewing Border Patrol. I don't know if you knew this, but Lutheran Social Services of the South, which is an ELCA affiliate, is the largest provider of children's residential care in Texas. And so they're on the first line when refugee children come over the border, unaccompanied. And their story is not the same story you hear on the news. When they interview the children aren't saying, "I came for a better life." The children are saying, "I came so I could live." Take politics out of this. This is more similar to World War II, when parents sent their children out of London into the country so they wouldn't get bombed. It's a different kind of violence that they're sending their children away from. But it's not just to have an easy life. It's not just to have an easy life. They're refugees. And I'd encourage everybody to go to the ELCA website and read up some of the things that Steve Bowman are writing, or Rafael Padilla. He spoke at one of our conferences recently from Global Missions. Steve Bowman was the bishop in New York during 9/11. And now he's working for Lutheran Disaster Response. So Steve is not just some soft touch. Steve is tough as a New Yorker. I mean, tough as a New York cop. And this is a different story than you're hearing on the news. Pray for compassion. Pray for peace. Pray for the children. You know, Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." These are places where being people of the good news will clash with some of our cultural assumptions. And then we need to go back to the good news. Our gospel text is kind of harsh, and it talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. The other place in the gospel of Matthew where it talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth is where Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." And they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I serve this congregation because we take the good news of Matthew 25 seriously. The good news where Jesus says, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food." Oh, this church loves to feed. "And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." And these are things you do. "I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And the righteous will say, "Lord, when was it we saw you?" All of those things. And Jesus said, when you saw, when you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, remember, all the little children belong to God. All of them. Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. In light of all of the global crises, in light of the pain in so many places, and of course, including our own community, our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, has asked us to observe a moment of silence. To observe a moment of silence for justice and peace and an end to war and violence. And so we do.